The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 3 in your pew Bibles. And we read Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's on page 1206, and we read Romans 5, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift, by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, page 1033, and we read Matthew 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is the gospel lesson we read, The Temptations of Jesus by Satan. If you are the Son of God, the question that he put to Jesus. But I'd also like to read from the Gospel of Luke, the same incident, the temptations of Jesus, but Luke's closing line to that account. "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." This is our text. If you are the Son of God, Satan was questioning the identity of Jesus. and how you measure that. Something that Satan continues to do to people throughout the world, and particularly young people, often struggle to understand what their identity is and how you define that. For instance, growing up, I was not a fighter. You know, there's some kids that get in fights all the time. That wasn't me. But nonetheless, there are occasions when people wanted to pick a fight with me. And I'd say, I don't want to fight. And they'd call me a wimp. I was not a wimp. I just didn't want to fight. I was three sports, football, basketball, and track. I even started at defensive end. Lean and mean, they called me. I was not a wimp. But there were times that I wanted to prove it by slugging someone. But I didn't. Because that's not how you prove it. If you are the Son of God, how does God prove He's God? That was the question. And not only Satan, but we ourselves sometimes voice that challenge to God, wanting Him to prove Himself to us in ways that He sometimes refuses to do. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Well, Jesus was hungry, and Jesus certainly could have do that. But is that how God shows Himself to be God? Jesus said no. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Satan takes him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Hey, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from there and the angels will bear you up on eagle's wings. Now, I suppose if Jesus had jumped off, angels would have shown up. But is that how God proves Himself to be God? Jesus said no, because you don't test the Lord your God. You know, God is the ruler of the earth. Just before Jesus ascends into heaven, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. He is the King of kings. And Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, hey, you can have all this. Just got to bow down to me. But ruling over the kingdoms of the world, if you will, as an authoritarian, getting everybody to bow down to you just because you have power over them, as Satan often does, is not Jesus' way of showing He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me to do what? To go and make disciples. To worship God in love. You worship the Lord your God, and Him alone you serve. And when the devil had ended his every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. As you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's not till the end of those Gospels that Satan shows up again. It's on the night that Jesus is betrayed. When the Gospels describe that Satan enters into Judas, Jesus goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. and he prays. He prays so fervently that drops of blood come out of the pores of his skin, because the Christ is about to suffer, and suffer in ways that we can't even begin to fathom. The pain of crucifixion is only the beginning of it. To be abandoned by all those who have followed you. And in that mystery of mystery, to even have God the Father turn his back on Jesus. When we hear that mournful cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? While Jesus Christ certainly is true God and true man, the fact that he is God doesn't diminish the suffering that he endured. In point of fact, it intensified it. He wasn't just bearing the punishment of one man. He was bearing the direct punishment of God upon all mankind for the sins of the world. And Jesus understood in the garden what he was going to be facing. And he calls out, my God, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If there was any way that he could accomplish the mission of God by not going through what he went through, he wanted to have that way. God sends angels to strengthen him, but Jesus still goes to the cross. And then we hear the challenge one last time. As the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees are gathered beneath him to mock him. If you are the Christ, come down and we will believe in you. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus stayed on the cross. He wasn't a wimp, though. He was the Almighty Son of God. And by staying on that cross instead of coming down with lightning and thunderbolts, instead of striking those beneath him dead, he showed the world what God is, revealing the fullness of his identity. You know, God is a lot of things. God is almighty. With just a word, he could change stones into bread. With just a word, he can create the heavens and the earth. God is glorious. He reigns in the heavens. Cherubim, seraphim, and all the angels and all the saints bow down to him in his heavenly glory. God is also just. And he also is a vengeful God. He is all those things. But those things are not the chief identity by which he wants to be known. He wants to know us to know him by means of the cross. And how much he is willing to sacrifice that we may be his own. And we might be able to address him as dear children address their dear Father in heaven. That is how God identifies himself to us. And when there are those occasions when we do question the identity of God ourselves, it's to the cross that we must always flee. God, if you really loved me, God, if you were really listening to me, God, if you really cared, now fill in the blank with things you've asked of God in the past that didn't show up or didn't happen. And you wondered about God. It's not just Satan that sometimes says, if you are really the Son of God, sometimes it's us as well. And we question, is God good? Does God love? Does God really care? And that's when we need to go to the cross and reconsider what went on there, that we might have the privilege of prayer, of calling God our Father who art in heaven. Consider what Christ had it to do in order that our sins might be forgiven and an eternal life guaranteed unto us. And then reconsider our questioning of God and realize that he does love, he does care. And if he hasn't provided that which we ask of him, it's not because he hates us, not because he's forgotten about us, but because he wants to be good to us in some other way. If you are the Son of God, Jesus was, proving his victory over sin and Satan and death itself in his resurrection. But we need to remember the cross and how he demonstrated to us the real and loving and sacrificial identity by which God wishes to be known in the whole world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.